why I emphasize that it's not a good option to rely on the fire department to get there, because it's, you know, I say we, it's like the fire department, it's not our emergency, it's yours. So we're going to get there, we're going to do everything we can to help you out, but we're going to plan it out, make sure we're doing everything like we're supposed to, and not jeopardize our safety more than we have to. So we're not just going to run in there, we're going to figure out, okay, what kind of system is the best approach for this, how can I get them down safely, but then also the medical side of, once I get them down, how do I treat them medically? Because they fall, there's a giant impact to the fall itself, that you're just jerking on the harness. And then if you've been there for an extended amount of time, you could have what they call suspension trauma taking place. So all your blood circulation just kind of stops and stays in your legs and becomes acidic and all that fun stuff.
If a worker is hanging from their harness, how can you help them get down safely to the ground? There are several options, according to Drew Hinton, CEO and founder of Aero Safety. In this chat, Drew and I talk about height rescue plans and the pros and the cons of using safety dummies, similar to crash test dummies, to practice difficult safety maneuvers.
So you know when you like talk to somebody for a really long time and then meet them online a lot and you're like buddies and then you've never met in person?
And you creep.
There he is in person. Very exciting. Drew Hinton. My old buddy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm super. So we've even done webinars. Like, we've done tons of stuff together.
Everything other than in person.
Isn't that crazy?
This is the in real life thing.
This is IRL.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right.
I don't know how to do it. So you are a presenter here at the ASSB conference, and you're presenting on high angle rescue?
Something like that. Yeah. So it's called 0 to 360, evaluating your rescue from heights options. So trying to figure out if you have somebody that's fallen off of a roof or any kind of elevated platform, they're hanging by the harness, how to get them down safely and efficiently.
Okay, so they're hanging by their harness. Mm-hmm. So I'm imagining this.
Okay.
Okay, they're hanging by a harness. How do you get them down?
Lots of options. Hopefully they can get themselves down, but that's not usually the most feasible. It requires a lot of upper body strength. Not everybody goes to CrossFit and everything else.
Hey, CrossFit.
but it does, you know, people think that it'll just grab onto a nearby structure and pull themselves up. But
okay.
it requires a lot of upper body strength to pull you from dead weight all the way up.
Okay. So if you don't have that.
So they do make, like, you know, DBI Solid makes like a rescue pack. It's only reason I mention the name because it's the only brand I've seen that's had one. And you can basically descend yourself down by yourself. You put it on your back, back.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And you just slowly descend yourself down. It's pretty neat, pretty neat little piece of equipment. So if you can't get yourself down, then you got two other options. Next best option is what they call assisted rescue. So somebody in the workplace gets you down. And that can be as simple or complex as you want it to be. It could be, I just grab a scissor lift and go up underneath them and put them in the basket and go down.
Oh, okay.
Or we can be rappelling off the side of structures and doing ropes and knots and all that fun stuff.
Okay, so you put them in a basket and you lower them down.
That's
option
one. Well, that's a type of assisted rescue.
A type of.
So you got three general options.
Okay.
You got self rescue. I get myself down.
Got it.
Assisted rescue. Somebody in the work area gets me down.
Got it.
And then professional rescue is what we typically associate with calling 911.
Right. That's usually you would come in your former life.
What's that?
Then you would show up in your former life.
That's the former life, right?
Yeah. You show up.
That's right.
And then what happens whenever? Like fire comes, how do they do it?
Well, they have to get up off the couch and stop eating their donuts and everything else. But
I'm tired of those dudes just sitting around, or they're just lifting, just getting all jacked up in the garage.
That's right.
And they're just, it's ridiculous. Like, is that all you do all day? Is just lift weights?
Clean bay floors, wash the chief's car. That's about it. No, when they get there, it's very methodical planning out process, which is what is why I emphasize that it's not a good option to rely on the fire department to get there, because it's, you know, I say we, it's like the fire department, it's not our emergency, it's yours. So we're going to get there, we're going to do everything we can to help you out, but
okay.
We're going to plan it out, make sure we're doing everything like we're supposed to, and not jeopardize our safety more than we have to. So we're not just going to run in there, we're going to figure out, okay, what kind of system is the best approach for this? How can I get them down safely? But then also the medical side of, once I get them down, how do I treat them medically? Because if they fall, there's a giant impact to the fall itself that you're just jerking on the harness. And then if you've been there for an extended amount of time, you could have what they call suspension trauma taking place. So all your blood circulation just kind of stops and stays in your legs and becomes acidic and all that fun stuff. So they have to, usually paramedics will run some IV fluids to help neutralize that acidic blood.
Okay. How long do you have to be up there to have any kind of like...
any of that stuff take place?
Yes.
So there's been research that says it can occur in as little as 7 minutes, but realistically, you're probably, if you have a properly fitted harness and you don't have any underlying medical conditions, realistically, it's probably running 15 to 20 minutes or so. When you really, really start showing signs and symptoms of what they call shock. But you know, like I said, if you have an improperly fitted harness, that can play a factor.
Right.
If you've got heart issues where my heart's already not pumping enough blood throughout, that can make me more prone to having that issue take place. So there's a lot of factors go into it, but you know, research side versus realistic side is going to be two different things.
So how does the fire department, how did you learn how to rescue people in like, in, is it different rescuing somebody from like a site or construction site rather than like, I don't know, where else would you rescue somebody from?
YouTube. That's how we learn.
I swear to God, you're the biggest pain in the butt I've ever met. How do you learn? Like, for real? Like,
well,
who teaches
it's,
you?
It's similar in aspect, and it's also different in aspect. I mean, it's similar because it's all still...
Because OSHA's not coming to teach you,
right? Right, right. They're coming to tell you why was that person hanging in the harness in the first place and probably try to give you a citation because you did something wrong. But it's similar in aspect of we still have what they call what we call a high angle rescue. Some people call it rescue from heights.
Okay.
We're still going to get them down because they're in an elevated position. It's just a matter of what's the best way to get them down. Is it, like I said, can I use a scissor lift and just go up there and drop them in a scissor lift and lower them down? Or do I have to, you know...
I'm talking about the fire department.
Right.
How does the fire department has a scissor lift?
We don't have a scissor lift, but we may very well use yours.
Ah, gangster.
Straight up
just
G.
Just stealing right. stuff.
We try to do it as simple as possible. As simple as possible.
Okay.
You know, kiss method. Could be simple, stupid, right?
Right, right, right. Yeah.
But a lot of times they're doing pick-off scenarios where they're setting up all these ropes and knots and rigging scenarios, and they'll usually use or they may use like a Stokes basket, this big giant metal stretcher basket that they'll lay them in, strap them in.
I've seen those.
And
on
then
TV.
They can take, you know, whatever method they want to lower them down with, if it's ropes or, you know, like I was sitting in a class this morning talking about using an overhead crane at a construction site.
Okay.
Or not an overhead crane, but a mobile crane at a construction site that, you know, the question was, can I use that crane to get them down? And absolutely you can. You know, it's usually not the most feasible option and not the best option in place, but it's a option. That's kind of what the session I'm talking about. My session is about is what's your options out there, and let you pick out which one you think is going to work best for you and your crews.
Who teaches the safety pro which option to use?
So there's other fire department instructors that have just done it from experience that turn around and teach it. And then there's industrial people like myself and other similar companies out there that do this stuff. And then there's guys that eat, sleep, and breathe technical rescue, and that's all they teach all day long. They learn, they can tie 18 knots in their sleep before they wake up in the morning.
I've seen some of the knot guys. I mean, they're super into knots.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you have options. You go and you assess, right, and you make a choice.
Right.
Who is teaching the safety pro option 2 and 1? The same... So you're teaching
a facility like safety manager or something.
Right. You guys, you're doing that.
We can do that. That's usually what we lose. Like we'll go in and teach, like the safety manager will sit in with the class and we'll teach a group of their workers how to make that rescue take place. So,
okay. And they're actually going to do it. Like you're showing them how to do it.
Yeah. So like we've got a customer that we do it just about every 2 or 3 months. They'll have it's a distribution center that they've got these big 80-100 foot tall racks indoors.
Okay.
So outdoors is, you know, an outdoor rescue where somebody's hanging off the side of a building is one thing, to where the fire department can just pull up and raise up their aerial ladder on their truck and get you down.
Right.
Very simple. Versus indoors, they can't just pull a truck right inside of a
facility. Oh my God, this makes so much sense. I didn't even think about that.
And so like we teach them how to, you know, if they're on these 80-100 foot structures at these even a distribution center, if somebody gets stuck up there, has a medical emergency on 7th, 8th floor up,
right,
how do you get them down quickly? Because, you know, some of these facilities only have, or some of these structures have like one set of stairs directly in the middle. And this, you know, racking system may be several hundred yards long. So rather than trying to have them go down the set of stairs, go all the way back, it's a lot quicker to just get them, rig them up, put them in a basket and just drop them straight over the edge.
Right.
And so we teach them how to do that. We have them. We don't ever put a person in the basket.
I was going to ask.
No.
No, I'm serious. Because
we have
a dummy.
We have Dwight the dummy and Rescue Randy.
Okay. Okay. So you don't ever do that?
So we have our two rescue members.
Do you do that in the fire department? Do you use people anytime or do you always use dummies?
Usually we use people.
Okay.
People that's supposed to be doing this safely that usually don't do it safely.
It seems like you have to do it with people at some point to kind of really get the experience, or does the dummy just absolutely have the same effect?
One of our dummies is 180 pounds and it's lifelike. So
okay, so yeah. I guess that's true. But you don't have all that bitching and complaining.
That's right.
Which is like a whole other stretch level.
Fussing
right. Oh my God, it's a 10 out of 10.
Get me down now.
No, it's not. It's not a 10 out of 10. It's not.
If you ever get bored, there's a video out there where somebody, they were making a helicopter rescue and they had one of those Stokes baskets. And like we always teach people indoors to have a tagline. You attach a rope to that Stokes basket. And it keeps that from spinning. You can control it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's a video. It was probably 10, 15 years ago. But there was a helicopter making a rescue out, like off the side of a cliff. And it just kept there sitting there spinning.
Oh, God.
And so that person's just sitting there spinning like crazy.
That is awful.
And there's nothing they can do because they're in the helicopter.
There's nothing you can do.
There's nothing they can do other than get them down.
So, that's awful.
Oh, I'm sure it was a lawsuit. I don't know.
I'm sure it was. What else is new with you? Business is good?
Business is good. Opening a new facility or opening a new building. So
you are
trying to get some new local business drawn up.
Get out of here.
I am. So we'll get to spend the next month or so having it painted and all the floors buffed.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a big deal.
Thank you. So
that's a really big deal.
We do a lot of traveling. So hopefully try to get some more business in the Kentuckiana area.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're just like one of the biggest nerds I know, like in terms of like OSHA standards. I'm serious. It's terrible. We'll be talking and you'll be like, yeah, that's section 4.9 under the 17th page of the scoobity bop thing. And I'd be like, what are you saying? Like, you know, all of the letters and the numbers and all of the different technical things. And I think that's great. I mean, it's a huge asset to people.
Right. Takes a lot of experience. You know, a lot of my stuff was trial by fire, getting thrown into there and having to learn it.
Yeah.
You know, companies that I work, you know, it was kind of a double-edged sword of working at companies prior to starting my own company. You know, I would go to work for a company that didn't have anything safety existing at all.
Wow.
So it was good in the aspect of I could cater it however I wanted to. I could start it from scratch and build it however I wanted it to. Mm-hmm. But it was also the bad side of things was there was nothing in place. So I had to learn everything that applied to that particular industry, that particular facility, and draw it up from scratch. So yep. A lot of grunt work, but again, the positive side of that was that you get to do it however you want to for the most part.
Is that even real anymore? Companies that don't have any safety programs?
Like, oh, yeah.
How is that possible? Is it the size? Is it just that they grew, they were little, and then they grew, and then it just didn't happen, and all of a sudden, then now they need one? I mean,
it
how
does been,
that
yeah.
even happen?
There's a lot of companies that we do work with that are small, you know, mom and pop companies, or
right.
30, 40, 50 employees.
Right.
That, you know, we got three companies that, you know, they're like 30 or 40 employee companies are not big enough to have a full-time safety person.
Exactly.
So we work 40, 50 hours a month for them as a part-time person.
Perfect.
just to keep them going because they're starting to grow. Sometimes they may just, you know, be honestly ignorant of the topic. They just don't know. Right. So they may have like a, you know, an HR person that's not specializing in safety that doesn't, they just truly don't know all the standards and what are the requirements. So they kind of catch yourself of, you know, catching it after the fact when hopefully nothing happens. But when it does happen, that's when they really figure out, oh, we were supposed to be doing this or supposed to be doing that. And now I got in trouble in aspect.
What size of company, I don't know if you say by number of people, but like, what do you suggest that they put in a safety person?
There's lots of numbers been floating around, but kind of the general consensus is that one safety person per 100 people.
Okay.
So I start getting 200-300 people. I should probably have 2 or 3 safety professionals.
Interesting.
On site.
Okay, I like that number.
Yeah, keep it simple. One for every 100. So.
Do you? I mean, at over 100 employees, do you see where there's still no safety professional there? I mean, is.
I have. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Wow. Is it just a mess?
Yeah. That was one that I started out at, or one of the companies I worked at was, they were about 300 people. And
there was no safety professional.
Safety, there wasn't a dedicated safety professional. They were kind of, safety was kind of just thrown on multiple people.
Right.
HR, operations, maintenance was doing a little bit of stuff there. Wasn't like a truly dedicated safety person until.
And sometimes that person is like, just like asked to be, or so somebody there that's been there is then just like asked to, yeah,
yep,
voluntold to be the safety professional.
Hey, you do this or you're getting fired.
Right. And that seems pretty common, right?
Yeah.
And then they're just, then they have to figure it out.
Yeah.
Kind of like,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What else? Tell me something new. Anything?
A lot of people at this conference, a lot of good sessions so far.
There's a lot of people 6, here.
6,000.
There are
like
so many women here. I love it so much.
Did
it
you check out the
so
women's?
Happy. Yes.
The women's runway
yeah,
show.
It's pretty awesome. We were just talking about that. I was talking about that with Allison and like good looking clothes. Like we don't want to look dumb and frumpy and
or have something that doesn't fit you properly. Like it's made for a man.
Right. Well, she was like, so you can do your job properly, and you don't. And I was like, yeah, but also I want to look awesome.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. I want to look awesome.
Right.
And because you just feel more confident. Like if your stuff fits and you like can present well. Yeah, I think it's
great.
You
don't look like a third grader in an extra large vest or something.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
It actually fits me.
Like when I put on like my husband's like, you know, like jacket or something like that.
Right.
It's like, I look stupid. this can't be good for
me. Right.
You know? Or like, well, I used to, when we first started riding motorcycles, I wore his helmet because I didn't have one yet.
Yeah.
And it, like a stiff breeze could have blown it off my head. It was so big. You know what I mean? Just so stupid. Like, this isn't good. This isn't safe. It's kind of like that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like an XL and I'm like a small.
Yep.
Or a medium. Yeah. Any like webinars or anything going on? What are you doing? You're not doing newsletters anymore. What happened to you? You used to do newsletters all the time and you lost
yourself.
I got tired
of typing.
God, newsletters can be the worst.
No, I need to get into that because I have had some people ask about the newsletters.
I know. You haven't done one in a year, I bet.
I know.
Or 18 months, I guarantee.
See, even creeped my website.
I have. Because you know what I would do? Here's what I would do. I would go to your website to steal information to put it onto my newsletter because I didn't want to write anything.
Contributed by Drew.
Contributed by Drew on everything. Contributed by Drew. Bam. Copy, paste. My newsletter's done. And then you stopped doing it. And I was like, I have to come
what
up with
I
my own content. I don't want to do this. This is terrible.
I need an adult.
I know. I don't want to come up with something because you've already done all the legwork. Okay, before we go, I want to talk about, I know you got your doctorate. And so you're basically like the coolest dude ever. So you had a really interesting subject matter, which was THC.
Mm-hmm.
Is this still something that's controversial? Do people are still talking about this? Like, what were your findings?
Yeah, so the topic was about impairment levels associated with CBD, specifically CBD,
CBD
involving THC.
Was. Yeah, but does CBD always have THC?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, and that's kind of the farm bill separated, kind of the difference between that. So you start, once you get up to 0.3% THC, it becomes marijuana. Under that, it's
0.3%
THC.
0.3%
THC content becomes, above that becomes marijuana.
Below, so 3%. No.
0.3. 0.3%.
0.3%.
Yep. Below that, it's hemp.
There it is. can you feel the effects of THC at that point?
Depends on who you are. There's a lot of variables. So, like, you know, weight's going to play, it's going to be based on your weight. Male and female is going to metabolize it differently.
Okay.
So you may very well do it. And someone like myself, I don't do it, but I may take 0.3% and not feel it at all. You may take 0.3%. And you're like,
I'm hammered. Yeah.
I'm seeing different sounds.
Why? I'm seeing different sounds.
That's right.
Wow. I don't think that's THC. Why do you care about that? Why do you care?
I think it's something that's, you know, if you're in the industry at all dealing with this stuff, you'll notice that it's progressively getting more and more stringent, which is going to cause really two different aspects of issues for the workplaces. So you're going to have the safety aspect of now the marijuana is becoming more and more legalized. Mm-hmm. So now I can potentially take it. And unless I have proper protocols in place, I may have a potential impairment issue in a workplace, cause an issue, safety related issue, injuries, illnesses, fatalities. But also as an HR issue, you have to battle around because if it's legal, what can or cannot not say in the workplace as far as what you can and cannot do on your off days.
Right.
And so, I've got some students, like I do teaching in Capital Tech, and we've got two students that are both dabbling in this similar topic about that. But one of them specifically is dealing with, you know, the progressing legalization of marijuana and how it's affecting the workplace.
It's legal in Colorado.
Yeah.
Obviously.
First time I went out there in 2018, I smelled like a skunk the whole time.
God, it's like everywhere. It's just such a different life out there.
Which is weird because they're supposed to have that kind of the sidewalk rule where shouldn't be able to smell it from the sidewalk. But it's not the grow operations. It's the people just smoking the joints down on the 16th Street Mall or whatever it is in Denver. Now they're just smoking.
Why are you so angry about it? Are you just jealous?
I just need some so I can mail it out.
I know. God, I would love to see you high. I mean, it'd be amazing. You would just be like, you'd talk slower. Just chill.
Maybe.
Probably not. Yeah, interesting stuff. Okay, well, very good. I'm so glad I got to run into you.
Finally.
And
you've been hiding for 3.5 years.
So, I know. This is so crazy. I'm so glad. So where can people find you if they want to hire you for your expertise?
I'm all over any social media, so LinkedIn.
You literally are.
Literally.
Oh, and your TikToks are great.
Oh, my TikToks, my big head videos, which my wife hates.
Big head videos?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Big head videos.
What's that mean?
It's like, this is like a filter where you have a really big head.
Yeah.
My wife hates those
things. I think they're great.
I do too.
I mean, I would probably always side with your wife just because girl power and all that.
That's right.
But I do like your TikToks.
Yeah. We're all over social media, so LinkedIn's usually the best way to get in touch with me, or we got our website, aerosafetyus.com. You can find us there. But like I said, LinkedIn, Facebook, social, Instagram, TikTok, all that
all
stuff.
The things. All those things. TikTok. You will not regret it following Drew on TikTok. It's one of those, like, you can spend a long time there, and then all of a sudden you're like in the rabbit hole.
Scroll. Yeah. Oh, there's Drew. Scroll. Oh, there's Drew.
Yeah. You work hard. Good stuff. I mean, good content.
That's right.
Yeah, you care. All right. See ya.
Peace.
Thank you for joining us on the Safety Storytellers Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Sospis, bringing you the best EHS software in the industry. If you are ready to learn more about how an EHS software can transform your safety program, your profits, and your entire company, head to www.sospis.com/podcast. That's www.sospes.com/podcast. We'll see you next time on the Safety Storytellers.